I'm Melanie Phillips, and this is Teach Me to Walk in the Light, Episode 8, Love Thy Enemies. This podcast is for people who want to learn how to effectively teach, persuade, and lead those within their reach to walk in the light of Christ. I am your host, Melanie Phillips. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast, helping you teach more effectively at home and in your calling. In each episode, I teach a new gospel principle and share with you how you can apply it to your life and how to teach it to your family and family home evening. The gospel principles I cover coincide with a principle taught in the Come Follow Me reading assignment for the upcoming week. I also share a new teaching tip and end with a hashtag take time for family activity suggestion or a dinner conversation starter. Thanks to everyone who listens, and please, if you like the podcast, I'd sure appreciate it if you'd give me a review on iTunes. Anyone who leaves me a review now until February 14th will automatically be entered into a $75 Amazon gift card giveaway. If you listen to me on my blog and not on an app, then simply shoot me an email at melanieslibrary@gmail.com or melanie@melanieslibrary.com. And let me know what you think about my podcast, and I will include you in the drawing. It's as simple as that. Next week's episode, episode 9, I'll be announcing the winner, so be sure and listen in. Today's topic is Love Thy Enemies. It's one of the principles discussed in the New Testament 2019 Come Follow Me for the week of February 18th through the 24th. I want to start off with a story by Keith B. McMullen that was given in the April 2010 General Conference in a talk entitled Our Path of Duty.
In Holland during World War II, the Casper Ten Boom family used their home as a hiding place for those hunted by the Nazis. This was their way of living out their Christian faith. Four members of the family lost their lives for providing this refuge. Corrie Ten Boom and her sister, Betsy, spent horrific months in the infamous Ravensbrück concentration camp. Betsy died there. Corrie survived. In Ravensbrück, Corrie and Betsy learned that God forgives, helps us to forgive. Following the war, Corrie was determined to share this message. On one occasion, she had just spoken to a group of people in Germany suffering from the ravages of war. Her message was, God forgives. It was then that Corrie Ten Boom's faithfulness brought forth its blessing. A man approached her. She recognized him as one of the cruelest guards in the camp. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he said. I was a guard there. But since that time, I have become a Christian. He explained that he had sought God's forgiveness for the cruel things he had done. He extended his hand and asked, will you forgive me? Corrie Ten Boom then said, it could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. The message that God forgives has a condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. I prayed silently, help me. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. Woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. As I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hand, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love as intensely as I did then.
You can only imagine how hard that was for Corrie ten Boom to forgive someone who had caused her horrific pain and suffering for months. What a powerful example of how, yes, even in the face of hurt and tragedy, if we but open our hearts and be willing to forgive, the Lord will bless us with the ability to do so. In this case, her enemy asked for her forgiveness. Will our enemies always ask us for forgiveness? No. But should we forgive them and love them anyways? Yes. As hard as that sounds, yes. And we are also supposed to love them as taught in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, which says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." To say that you believe we should love our enemies, but then to actually do it, can be a whole different story. When someone has purposely used you, persecuted you, said bad things about you, manipulated and abused you, it can be really hard to love that person. And I would guess that everybody at some time or other in their life has been affected by somebody else who has treated them badly or caused unfortunate circumstances in their lives. This is the way life is, and it always will be. Our job is to learn how to let go, to forgive, and to be sure we don't cause the same grievances to somebody else. I'm reminded of the scripture verses found in D&C 1:22. It's verses 5 through 8, but I'll just share with you verses 7 and 8. This is when Joseph Smith is a prisoner at Liberty Jail, and the Lord says, "And if thou shouldst be cast into the pit or into the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee, if thou be cast into the deep, if the billowing surge conspire against thee, if fierce winds become thine enemy, if the heavens gather blackness, and all the elements combine to hedge up the way, and above all, if the very jaws of hell shall gape open the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience and shall be for thy good." Then my favorite verse is verse 8. It says, "The Son of Man hath descended below them all. Art thou greater than he?" What a humbling reminder that no matter what wrong is done to us, no matter how horrible we are treated, Christ has been there. He has been through it all. There is nothing that you can go through that the Savior himself has not experienced. And there is no better example of how we should treat our enemies than to look at how Christ treated his. Jesus was the most loving and kind person to have ever lived on this earth. He was perfect in every sense of the word, perfect in how he treated others, served others, and yet there were those who despised him and persecuted him. Soldiers who took Jesus and beat him with whips. They made fun of him. They made a crown of thorns and put it on his head, making him bleed. They put a purple robe on him and mockingly bowed before him, calling him the King of the Jews. They laughed at him and spit on him. They nailed his hands and feet to a cross and left him there to die. This was not fair. He did not deserve this. He did nothing wrong. But he did not complain or yell or fight back. He had the power to make them stop, but he didn't. He put up with it. He dealt with it. The scriptures say that Jesus held his peace and forgave them all. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus showed such great strength and courage because I believe it takes strength and courage not to fight back or try to hurt those who you feel have wronged you. I mean, it is so easy to just fight back out of anger. Now, this does not mean that we ignore bad situations or don't fight back if you find yourself in a dangerous situation. What I'm referring to is how it takes more strength and courage to forgive and to love those who have hurt you or who have wronged you than it is to lash out at them in revenge or because they started it. Oftentimes, when we feel hurt or angered because of someone else, we are so quick to judge that other person as to why they did it, labeling them with all kinds of dark motives when in reality, we don't know why they did it. We don't know their true motives, but we say things like that in order to justify our own feelings of resentment. I'll admit it, I've done it before. We do it sometimes because we are human, but it doesn't make it right and it ends up hurting us more in the long run. There's a great talk by Elder Uchtdorf entitled "The Merciful Obtain Mercy." I'll link it in the show notes. In it, he says, quote, "In a world of accusations and unfriendliness, it is easy to gather and cast stones. But before we do so, let us remember the words of the one who is our master and model. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. Brothers and sisters, let us put down our stones. Let us be kind. Let us forgive. Let us talk peacefully with each other. Let the love of God fill our hearts. Let us do good unto all men." Unquote. And Elder Uchtdorf also goes on to say, which this is probably one of my most favorite quotes by him. He says, quote, "When it comes to hating, gossiping, ignoring, ridiculing, holding grudges, or wanting to cause harm, please apply the following. Stop it." Unquote. In his talk, Elder Uchtdorf reminds us how there is enough heartache and sorrow in this life without our adding to it with our own stubbornness, bitterness, and resentment. When someone does hurt you, try stepping away from the situation and see it with a more spiritual and eternal perspective. And realize that they do not have control over your feelings unless you give them control. Only you decide how you're going to feel. As President Monson once said, quote, "To be angry is to yield to the influence of Satan. No one can make us angry. It is our choice." Unquote. You know, I also love the one quote that says, "Holding on to anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die." It is true. Holding on to that anger and resentment only hurts yourself. I would guess that many times the other person has forgotten the whole thing or didn't even realize they hurt you. It is not hurting them at all. It is only hurting you. Returning love for hate is very hard sometimes, but love feels so much better. It feels light and freeing and not weighed down and all-consuming. My wise younger sister once told me, "You can love someone who doesn't love you back, and there is nothing they can do about it." I love that point of view. As I've thought on this, on loving your enemies, the thought that keeps coming to mind is this: love is the source of all truth, and it is the light that dispels the darkness. And those treating us unkindly are in darkness. At least they are in that moment, because hurtful, hateful comments, actions, and our feelings are definitely not blue skies and sunshine. So why not shine a light for them to see? Shine brightly for those who are in the dark at that moment. Shine your light by showing love and compassion and by praying for them. As Elder Uchtdorf once said, quote, "As we open our hearts to the glowing dawn of the love of God, the darkness and cold of animosity and envy will eventually fade." Unquote. Don't let anger consume you. Pray for the Lord's comfort and healing, and He will help you forgive. Just as He helped Corrie Ten Boom in Elder McMullen's story, the Lord helped her find the love she needed in order to forgive even the cruelest guard at the concentration camp. So it is possible. Now, to end, I want to share with you the parable of the spoon, one of my favorite stories. It goes like this. One day a man said to God, "God, I would like to know what heaven and hell are like." God showed the man two doors. Inside the first one, in the middle of the room, was a large round table with a large pot of stew. It smelled delicious and made the man's mouth water. But the people sitting around the table were thin and sickly. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with very long handles, and each found it possible to reach into the pot of stew and take a spoonful. But because the handle was longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back into their mouths. The man shuddered at the sight of their misery and suffering. God said, "You have seen hell." Behind the second door, the room appeared exactly the same. There was a large round table with a large pot of wonderful stew that made the man's mouth water. The people had the same long-handled spoons, but they were well-nourished and plump, laughing and talking. The man said, "I don't understand." God smiled. "It is simple," he said. "Love only requires one skill. These people learned early to feed one another. Those who are hungry are greedy people, and they think only of themselves." Now, you can find that story and all other links in my show notes at www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme8. This is also where you can sign up to be on my Family Home Evening email group, where I send you a Family Home Evening outline once a week, making Family Home Evening preparation as easy as possible for you. All right, now on to the Family Home Evening suggestion. For the Family Home Evening suggestion, you can do an opening song, "Kindness Begins With Me," and then the scripture, play the Bible video about Cain and Abel. Talk about how Cain was the first person on this earth to let bitterness and anger into his heart. I mean, Cain was jealous of Abel because they had both taken offerings unto the Lord, but the Lord did not accept Cain's, but he accepted Abel's. And because of that, Cain let envy and hatred grow inside of him until he did the unthinkable. He murdered his own brother. And then discuss how sometimes people make us mad, and sometimes we think we have a right to be mad. But what does the Lord say about how we should treat others that make us mad? And this is where you can share the scripture, Matthew 5:43-44. And then for the lesson, show two pictures of Christ. One of Jesus on the cross, and the other a picture of Jesus with a smile on his face. And talk about the cruel things that happened to Christ, and yet he was able to forgive the people that did those cruel things to him. And then show a picture of Jesus smiling and tell how if we learn to love our enemies just as Jesus did, we can be happy, just as happy as Jesus looks in this picture. And then discuss how it is our choice whether we are going to be angry or if we are going to forgive those who have wronged us. You can also discuss how sometimes it's just hard to not let anger swell up inside of us. And then talk about ways we can calm ourselves when we feel ourselves getting angry. The list could include count to 10 and take deep breaths, or give yourself a timeout by going to your room until you've calmed down. Pray, read your scriptures, think of good things you like about the person who made you mad. Listen or sing primary songs. Color, read a book, go for a walk or a bike ride. And then be sure and talk about how an important part of forgiving someone is not only letting go of bad feelings towards that person, but to also not dwell on what happened. We need to forgive and forget. And for an object lesson, you can create a maze in your living room with chairs and other objects. And then ask for a volunteer, and you blindfold them and have them try to go through the maze to the other side of the room, blindfolded and walking backwards. They, of course, will probably go really slow and bump into a few things, making many mistakes. When he or she has made it through the maze, have that same person do it again, but this time without a blindfold and walking forward. And this time they will have no problems walking through it quickly and easily. The lesson to apply here is this. When we fail to forgive and forget, we are, in a sense, walking backwards with our eyes closed, glued to the things of the past, and it affects the things in our future. We progress more slowly and ineffectively towards returning back home to our Father in heaven when we hold on to something someone else did to us. When we forgive and forget, we can walk forward in life more quickly and easily without the past holding us back. We can progress so much better spiritually if we simply let go and move on. And then end with the parable of the spoon. And for an activity, you can play I Love You, But I Just Can't Smile. This is where everybody's sitting down and one person is chosen to be it. The person who is it has to approach other players one at a time and say, I love you, baby. And they have to respond with, I love you, baby, but I just can't smile. Now, if they smile while replying, they lose and they become it. If they manage to keep a straight face, the person who is it then moves on to someone else. The only rule is you can't touch anyone, but anything else is fair game. It's fun to see the looks on people's faces as they try not to smile. And then for a closing song, you can sing Choose the Right Way. All right, on to the teaching tip for today. Did you know that if you are a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there is a 99.9% chance you have already been successful as a member missionary? It's true. Whether it be sharing your beliefs online, befriending newly baptized member of the church, ministering to a less active member of the church, answering a question about the church to someone who asked, feeding the missionaries, sending out your own missionary, living your religion, bringing a non-member or less active friend to a church function, or teaching your own children the gospel. If you have done any one of those things, pat yourself on the back. You have been successful in being a member missionary. Just because you may not have gotten anyone baptized, I promise you, you have not failed at being a member missionary. Oftentimes when we hear the words member missionary, we get this sick feeling in our stomachs or we shy away from that topic altogether because we envision walking up to strangers and sharing the gospel with them, and that totally freaks us out. Just know that is not what member missionary work is all about. So many members do member missionary work without even realizing it. So please do not put yourself down. If you have not read the book, The Power of Everyday Missionaries by Clayton M. Christensen, I highly recommend it. I'll have a link to it in my show notes. This book changed my whole way of thinking when it comes to being a member missionary. It made me realize that I can do member missionary work and not get out of my comfort zone. I also wrote a post about the 6 principles I learned from this book, and the post, you can find it on a blog called Chicken Scratch and Sniff. I'll have a link to it as well in the show notes. I'm currently a counselor in my ward's Relief Society presidency that helps with the ward's member missionary work. So stay tuned. Tips and ideas on how to be a member missionary will be coming in future episodes. But for today, I just want to stress the fact that no, you are not a failure when it comes to member missionary work. Remember, there is a 99.9% chance you have already been successful and not even know it. I also highly recommend reading The Power of Everyday Missionaries. It's a quick read, excellent book. or read my post over at Chicken Scratch and Sniff that covers 6 principles that are taught in the book. All right, hashtag take time for family. The 2 most important ways to build family relationships is through 1, spending time together, and 2, conversation. One of my favorite questions at the dinner table, my children will attest to, is would you rather questions? I think they are fun and they are a great way to learn more about each other and begin some really fun conversations. Here are 10 would you rather questions that you can try with your family. Would you rather own your own boat or your own plane? Sweat melted cheese or always smell skunk? Be able to fly or be invisible? Speak every language in the world or play every instrument? Live in the future or in the past? Be the best player on a losing team or the worst player on a winning team? Live in the city or the country? Meet the President of the United States or your favorite movie star? Go to the beach in the summer or skiing in the winter? And last, be fabulously famous and poor or unknown and rich? Try those out. Your family's answers just may surprise you. If you have any fun family activities or dinner conversation starters that you'd like to share, I'd love to hear them. Simply email me at melanieslibrary@gmail.com or melanie@melanieslibrary.com, and maybe I'll share your idea on the next podcast. Thanks so much for listening. You can find the show notes for today's episode along with any links or downloads at Melanie's Library. That's www.melanieslibrary.com/teachme8, the number 8. And that wraps it up for today. Thanks again for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, please tell your friends. Also, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And please leave me a review on iTunes or Stitcher, whatever app you use. Anyone who leaves me a review now until February 14th will automatically be entered into a $75 Amazon gift card giveaway. And remember, if you listen to me on my blog and not on an app, then simply shoot me an email and let me know what you think about my podcast, and I'll include you in the drawing. It's as simple as that. Next week's episode, episode 9, I'll be announcing the winner, so be sure and tune in. Have yourself a great rest of the week. Talk to you soon. Want more teaching helps and gospel-related resources? Be sure and go to Melanie's Library at www.melanieslibrary.com. This is also where you can find the show notes for all the Teach Me to Walk in the Light podcast episodes. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for my monthly Finding Joy newsletter that is always packed full of great resources and delivered right to your inbox. Everything you need to be the most effective teacher you can be at home and in your calling. Once again, thanks for listening.